Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about how the messenger brings meaning to the message.
You've got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of New Every Day. We're so glad that you've tuned in again. We are really looking forward to talking about the book of Revelation this week. We've talked about the book of Jonah, we've talked about missions, we've talked about all sorts of things since we've started the show, and it's been really wonderful to actually just talk about God and talk about our lives and what's going on, what we're reading each week. So we're looking forward to getting this started with you. So Jen?
Yes, Carrie?
Revelation. We went from Jonah to Revelation.
Yes, and one of the reasons why we're diving into Revelation is this past week I decided that I needed to sit down and actually read the book of Revelation from cover or from chapter 1 right through to chapter 22 to really understand, get a better understanding of what is God saying through this book. Because to be totally honest, when I think Revelation, I'm like,
dun, dun, dun. Scary.
I think scary.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of symbols, there's a lot of different pictures. It's talking about like the throne room of God. We know it's an important book. It's at the end of the Bible. It's like the finale when it talks about Jesus coming back. And it can be overwhelming, a little bit daunting to read, especially if you don't know what these symbols mean. So it doesn't necessarily read like a story, like some of the books of the Old Testament or like the Gospels where you're following the life of Christ. It can be really hard to follow, and I always had a little bit of trepidation reading it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from a couple different pastors that they have no problem preaching on the first, like, four chapters.
And
right?
Why is that?
Because it's very clear. They are letters to the churches. Very clear. Like, they're sermons. They're like mini sermons. So they could do a seven-week series on letters to the churches of Revelation. Right? And it's right there, like to Laodicea and to Philadelphia and to the various churches. And so it makes it easy, right? Because there's no real symbols. There's no numbers. It's very clear, like, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. So it's very easy to preach. It's when you get in past, well, let's just see. Once you get past, I think, chapter 4, where John has his revelation of heaven, and then you start getting into the seals and the trumpets and the bowls, and you're like, what is that? And to be totally honest, as soon as it starts getting into that imagery and those symbols, I would be like, I don't know what to do. I don't, because I didn't see it as one connecting story. Like, I just felt like, because I didn't understand it, because I think because of the fear that goes along with it. So often when we come to the Bible, if we have heard certain things about certain passages, we come with that mindset, right? So we're not actually reading the scripture as if from our perception. We are reading it from all the different perceptions that have gone into, that we've picked up over the years. Like, there's been so much talk on Revelation. There was the Left Behind series.
Right.
And then there's so much debate on, are we pre-trib? Are we post-trib? Are we amillennial? Who is the beast? What is the lady? Or who is the lady? And it's all of these, I know, and I get that look on my face. So when I read it, I can actually feel stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem. I'm like, why would I read something that makes me feel stupid?
And the other thing is, we know that it's the Word of God. We know that it's holy. It's there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some fear surrounding when you start making speculations about what these things are. You know, how can we do that if it's not clear cut? And how do you really interpret it? And I know there are some excellent scholars who have done some commentaries on the book.
Yeah.
And there's also some scholars who are well known who have not done commentaries. And maybe you can speak to that for a minute, Jen.
Like Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation, does not have a commentary. He actually, in his mind, he didn't get James, because James has a lot to do, the book of James has a lot to do on works. And for Martin Luther, faith is not based on works, it's based on the grace of God. We are saved by grace. It is a free gift, where when he read through James, he very much felt like it was all about works. So he, the book of James and the book of Revelation, Martin Luther was like,
he didn't touch them.
He didn't really touch them. And so Martin Luther...
Not to say he didn't read them.
No.
He just didn't make a commentary.
Did not make a commentary. So did not make a commentary on Revelation. And then John Calvin also did not make a commentary on Revelation. So I felt like I was in good company, you know? And then John Wesley, who was actually influenced by both men, he wrote his commentary, but with the idea that there are so many mysteries in it. That he's like, I hope what I've said can help. But he wasn't saying, this is it. Like, I have the corner on Revelation. And I think that's also that what we can get caught up on, is to make a bold statement and say, well,
has to be this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And yet there is, you know, as I read it, and there's so many different interpretations, that's why when I sat down to read it, I was like, Lord, what is it that you want me to understand about this book? I don't want to be afraid of it. Because I don't think we should be afraid of reading the Word of God. Like, there's something... I don't think that was God's intent. God's intent is to draw us into relationship. And that's why the Bible was written, actually, to reveal who God is and how much He loves us and desires to have a relationship with us. So it doesn't make sense to have a book that is out, would repulse people. Now, we were talking... we went out for breakfast this morning.
Oh, yeah.
With our producer, Robbie Ferguson, who does all the wonderful video editing for us. And I said to the gentleman who was waiting on us, because he said, well, what church do you go to? And we told him. And he said, oh, well, I grew up Catholic. And I said, oh, well, what do you remember about growing up in the Catholic Church? Because it's a good question to ask, and
it was a big part of his childhood, it sounded like it. Yeah.
And the first thing he said was wool pants
that were itchy and hot.
I was like, okay, wool pants. And he said, and the father spoke on Revelation every week. And I was like, oh, I'm sure as a wee boy that
it'd be challenging.
Yeah.
But
that was his memory.
Yeah.
The father spoke on Revelation every... And we had not talked saying, oh, we're going to talk about Revelation on our show today.
But he brought that up. And also said, you know, that the sermon was... part of it was in Latin, so it was harder to understand. But sometimes when you're reading something like this, it can feel like another language.
Yeah.
But I found with the Word of God, even passages that I had difficulty understanding, like even in Jeremiah or the Old Testament, that throughout the week or throughout the month or whatever, after reading it, things would come up during the week that I feel like it was the Holy Spirit explaining things,
right.
Whether it was from another verse in the Bible or a conversation with someone, or someone will point me to a resource.
Mm, yes.
And it just opens your mind.
Yeah.
When Jesus was talking to his disciples, and I think it was after he was resurrected. It says that he opened their mind to understand the words he was saying.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we can pray that God would do that for us, that he would open our minds and help us to actually understand the words and to put them into practice in our life, because there's practical application, even from the book of Revelation, on how to put our trust in God.
Yes.
And believe him.
I agree. And so one of the things we want to encourage you to do is actually sit down and read the book of Revelation and pray, Dear God, help me to understand what you want me to understand from this. Would you protect me from all fear? Because sometimes when we talk about the future, there's so much fear about the future. And that's one thing that Revelation is this book is specifically, we say it is the revelation of John, but actually John is just the script, like the scribe. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus's words to John. And he specifically says in Revelation 1, and I'm reading from New Century Version, it says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must soon happen. And Jesus sent his angel to show it to his servant John, who is told everything he has seen. It is the word of God. It is the message from Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of God's message, and blessed are the people who hear this message and do what is written in it. The time is near when all of this will happen. And for some reason, even though I've probably read that passage 20 times, I went, this isn't John's revelation. This is Jesus. It's like Jesus is telling his people something, which is very interesting because every single other book in the New Testament is like the Gospels are all well, Matthew saw this happen and he wrote down the words of Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus saying, write this down.
Right.
The same thing with Mark and Luke and John. It's like, this is actually saying, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ to give, that was given to John to scribe down in order that people would know what was happening. Which is so true to Jesus' character. Like, all the way throughout Scripture, well, I feel like the Bible is the revelation of God. Like, God revealing himself to man for the purpose of having a relationship with us. But all the way through, he says what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the way out. Like, that's what the prophets are all about. Like, they're saying, you are sinning. This is going to happen if you continue to sin.
Here's a heads up.
Here's a heads up. And so what's interesting is that part where it says, the verse 3, blessed is the one who reads the words of God and or God's message, and blessed are the people who hear this message and do what is written in it. Like, Jesus wants us to read this message and do it so we are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Not so we are scared or put off
or
frightened.
Confused.
Yeah. So if all that stuff is coming in, that's not God.
Right.
The confusion, not of God. The fear, not of God. Like, that is the enemy coming in, trying to make us afraid or confused, and actually say, well, the Bible's not for me.
So are you saying that this says, we'll be blessed by reading it?
Yeah. And I was, which was so cool. Like, I had never gone into this book saying, God bless me as I read it. I'd always, well, I like to finish things. So when it's I read through the Bible,
where's your checklist? She's got checklists.
I have checklists.
On my checklist, it's find my other checklist.
And on my checklist, yeah.
It's good.
Anyways, because Revelation is the last book of the Bible, well, I can't say that I finished the Bible until I've read through Revelation.
Oh, so you wanted to finish it.
So I had to finish Revelation so I could start again in Genesis. And I love the book of Genesis because it's all about God creating things. And then, you know, I get into the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, just reading the stories. And so in order to get back around to the Old Testament,
gotta finish it.
I gotta finish Revelation because that would just be weird. I can't finish off in Jude, even though it finishes well.
That's right.
It does. But so here I am just getting through Revelation all those years. And that was the first time that I had actually read it through to say, God, what are you saying to me?
Really?
Yeah. And it just reminded me once again that God is so faithful and his mercies are new every day. And even though I had read the word so many times, God in his graciousness waited how many years that I've been reading this book to reveal to me what I needed, what he wanted me to know from this book. That really is not scary. that I can take great, that I can be blessed by reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken such comfort, actually, because as I read it, I was writing down notes, like I have page after page after page after notes, and I was actually like, wow.
Surprised?
Surprised that I was so blessed. Really? That I was so encouraged. That I wasn't afraid. Which was, because so often, like, I've read through it, and you get to the stuff about the beast, and the dragon, and the false prophet, and the horns, and, oh, like, I don't know what to do with this. And so often, we don't know what to do with something.
We just leave it. Yep. Avoid it.
So I was like, I don't want to read it, but I feel like I should. I was so, so glad. And it just reminded me that God is so faithful.
And he finishes what he starts.
And he finishes what he starts. And so, yeah, he actually starts out with Jesus speaking to the church.
Okay.
And he speaks to seven churches.
So seven different churches.
Seven different churches.
Okay.
And what's interesting about the number seven is that it means complete.
Hmm.
So whenever you see the number seven in the Bible, it usually is a reference to a completeness.
Hmm.
So, I'd known that before. Now, here's our commercial for What's in the Bible with Buck Denver, written by Phil Vischer and others, which you can check out if you just follow the web link through our website on neweveryday.tv. Phil Vischer has put together basically a kid's commentary on the Bible using puppets and songs and just his way of telling a story.
It's excellent.
It is.
I learned something every time I watched it. So it goes through the whole Bible, and you can watch different sections of it. But yeah, it's really worth checking out, especially if you've got young kids, but even, like, I was learning from it, so it was excellent.
Oh, I learned more from watching What's in the Bible with Phil Vischer. Well, I shouldn't say more than what I learned in seminary. But I found that it filled in the gaps.
Sure.
That maybe when I was talking to the friend beside me in class, I missed out.
Oh.
It happens.
Faster.
I know. Anyways, so in it, he actually talks about the numbers and the symbols. And he talked about the number seven. And even though I knew what it meant, I never really applied it
to Revelation.
To Revelation.
There you go.
And so I just found it so fascinating that all of a sudden I felt like I was given a new tool. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important when you read the Bible, read it, but also seek out godly counsel and advice and commentaries.
That's a good, yeah.
Help bring clarity to things you don't understand. And that's why it's also important that you don't just read from one particular denomination, that you read from, or mindset,
Or author. Yeah.
But you read from a variety of different authors and people and mindsets. Because if they're all saying the same thing, then you're like, I can trust it. But so often we get, because somebody's mindset is the same, we feel an affinity, right? So we tend to be sometimes steered in that direction.
Our ears want to hear
what
they already think is to be right. Yeah.
Yes, so it's really quite challenging.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is, a sure barrier to the truth is the assumption that you already have it. And it's easy to put those glasses on when you're reading the Bible.
Yeah, and so, especially when reading Revelation, it is so important to have a variety of different authors' commentaries that have a different mindset. So you can actually see through a different frame of reference and go, oh, well, maybe there's some truth in that. And asking the Lord actually to pull it out and to tease it out, I guess, is the word of putting together what he wants us to know.
Right.
And so when Phil Vischer on the video is talking about seven in the seven churches, he makes the statement of, well, what does seven mean? It means complete. So if Jesus is talking to the seven churches, then maybe he's talking to the whole church.
Like the body.
The body of Christ. And these are seven things that he sees in his church that would, the image that I have is to cause it to limp or to hold it back. And so it, with that mindset, I was like, oh.
So you can apply what Jesus is telling these churches in these letters to your own life and your own church.
Yes. Like to the church in Ephesus, he says, you work hard, but you've lost your first love. I was like, oh, Lord, I work hard and you work hard, but I don't want to lose sight of who Jesus is,
mm-hmm.
and how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, Lord, help me to bring balance. What is the balance between work and devotion to you? And it's like the story of Mary and Martha, which we've talked about before. And Martha is busy, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's like, get her moving like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff to do. And Jesus is like, she has chosen
what is best.
What is best. And so that balance between working hard and loving Jesus. And then to the church in Smyrna, it says they are rich in spirit and to continue to be strong in suffering.
So they were going through some kind of trial. So that's maybe towards the persecuted church.
Mm-hmm. And I found that interesting because Jesus is not saying that his church will not suffer. And so often people can come into church with a mindset of, well, a real Christian doesn't suffer. If you're a real follower of Christ, you don't suffer. And that's not what this is saying. It says, you know, they're actually rich in spirit, but they still suffer. And so often we can think that suffering is a result of sin, which it can be, but not always. And so I found that letter
encouraging
and relieving.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, okay, like, we are going to suffer. That does not mean that we've done something wrong.
Right.
In fact, the apostles found it when they suffered for the gospel.
Yeah.
They actually were like, yeah!
They went home and were like, this is real.
Yeah.
This is real. Because people don't like it, and Jesus said people wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, Jen, I just want to kind of take a step back here. In the beginning of the book, John is he's writing down what Jesus is telling, and it's in Revelation 1 verse mm-hmm. 4, and it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, and it says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come,
yes.
and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his yeah. own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega. This is Jesus speaking. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. And then it goes on to talk about the vision of the Son of Man, Jesus.
Yeah.
He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches who mm-hmm. are in Asia. And I just think it's really important that initially it sets up who's the messenger. So John is writing it down. But the message is coming from Jesus, and it establishes who the source of the
yes.
information is. And when we spoke this morning to the waiter who was serving us at breakfast, he was also saying that he had a bad experience in one church because the leader of the church actually was leading a terrible life,
mm.
hated children, was hitting the children, was, you know, I guess sleeping with a bunch of different women. Anyway, it really put a bad taste in his mouth, even though this minister was sharing the word of God, which is true and good. It was coming from a bad source.
Yes.
The messenger tainted the message. And I just think here in Revelation, it's coming from Jesus, and it establishes who Jesus is. It talks about his names, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the first and the last. It's establishing his credibility all through the Old Testament,
yes.
the New Testament, through the Gospels. We're seeing God's character. We're seeing who Jesus is. And now is the finale yes. where he is sharing this revelation. And I just take a lot of comfort in that.
Well, because then he speaks to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Laodicea and Philadelphia. The message has credibility. Mm. Because it's coming from the Alpha and the Omega. It's coming from the Christ. It's coming from the one who they pierced, that it said.
Yeah.
It's coming from the one that one day everybody will see. Right? So it has credibility and it has truth. And when you hear credibility from a a message from a credible source, it has that much more depth. Because you're right, people can hear the truth. But if it's not coming from a good source, then they're like, psh.
Yeah.
Like, you say that, but I don't think you actually walk it out. So then if you don't walk it out, why should I?
Exactly.
And so you're right in backing up and saying, no, let's look at who the messenger was. Like, who is the message coming from? The message is coming from Jesus Christ. Like, yeah.
And John's just writing it down.
And John's just writing it down.
Yeah.
So when he says, you know, you've lost your first love, refocus on me. You will be, there will be suffering. Or beware of false teachers is what he says to Pergamum. And to Thyatira. Thyatira.
You're doing pretty good over there.
Oh my goodness. They actually tolerate Jezebel. Like, and she was a wicked queen in the Old Testament who controlled and manipulated and used her sexuality to get things. And he's like, you tolerate her. Like, you need to get rid of her. But who is that coming from? It's not coming from just some Joe Schmo down the road. It's coming from Jesus, who sees everything.
Right.
And so, but the thing is, he's telling this to the churches so they can be ready for when he comes back. He goes on to Sardis and says, they say they are alive, but they are dead. So strengthen what you have left before it dies completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's hope there.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's sending the message. And that's something
yes.
that we're going to touch on in the next episode. We're going to talk a little bit further on this. But we really encourage you just to read it.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and read it. Ask God to show you what he means.
Yeah.
And maybe just a good reference for you to check out would be Koinonia House. Or khouse.org, and it's the work of Chuck Missler, who's a Bible scholar, and I've really found that his commentaries, sometimes it's a little bit deep, but usually they're quite good. And when I first became a Christian and my family first became Christians, we listened to a lot of his podcasts and his teaching on the Bible. It really helped give us a foundation. So that might be something for you to check out, khouse.org. They have like a podcast, 6640, that you might want to listen to. So go to our website, neweveryday.tv, and you can follow the link there to get to some of his resources.
Yeah. And so as we close, and as you contemplate reading Revelation, as you read through those letters, they're there to encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Jesus Christ through John. The seven letters are like a complete picture of what is going right, but also what is going not so right, for the purpose of drawing us back to Jesus. And that's what I love about those chapters. It's like, here's what the issue is, and Jesus isn't like, bye-bye. He's like, no, recognize what the issue is, and then...
And let's fix it.
Let's fix it.
Yeah. So, yay. There's
yay.
Good news.
There's good news
good coming.
News.
And we're going to talk about it on our next show. So, I want to thank you to our partners... Family Christian Store. You can purchase Christian materials, books, music. You can go to our website, neweveryday.tv, and follow the link there. Thank you also to our partners, EcoAlkalines, are the batteries that power our audio-visual equipment. And thank you also to Category 5 TV for hosting. And we sure hope that you'll tune in same time, same place next week, neweveryday.tv. So thanks for coming out. See you next week.
Be encouraged.
Hey, the thing stuck to your thing.